Hi, welcome to Wellspring Midweek Message. This is Pastor John Heiss and Mary Ann.
Hi.
We're really excited here to share the word of the Lord with you that I was referring to last Sunday, Isaiah chapter 40, that says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And one of the most foundational things in my personal life that I've had for years that I'm so grateful to God for is this thing about waiting on the Lord. How about you, Mary Ann?
Yes, it's been foundational.
Yeah, like one of the first things we were taught, there's some great, wonderful men of God that we were so glad that they imparted this to us, Brother Taylor, this Brother Butler. So Walter Butler is the one that we're going to use and share some of the stuff that he shared. He was just influential back in the 50s, in the early 60s and 70s. Just amazing man of God, and there is this teaching that he has on waiting on the Lord. Also, Brother Wade Taylor also had a great teaching on it that he just imparted that to us. And I'm going to share a couple things with you along those lines, and I pray that God will continue to establish this in your life as well, because it's revolutionary, and I think it's more important now than ever that we learn to wait on the Lord. It's not just waiting for the Lord. And that was one of the distinctions he made. But turn in your Bibles turn to the scripture, Luke chapter 21, verse 29. We're going to read the section there where Jesus was talking about the fig tree and paying attention to the fig tree. Now, when this is springtime right now, we're seeing the trees are all in full bloom. The beginning of April, of course, it was just gorgeous out there. In our part of the United States, in Virginia, everything was blossoming. And there's something about the change of season of spring here in the South that's just so beautiful. Everything is blossoming and blooming. Everything has shifted so dramatically. And Jesus tells them this parable about looking at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they came out in leaf, he said, "You see for yourselves and know that the summer is already here. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." So we are at this time now in our area where we need to see what God wants us to see. And sometimes we don't pay attention. Sometimes we just kind of go about our busyness of life. He said in verse 34, he said, there are times when your hearts are weighed down with dissipation. And that word dissipation is often used for just being hungover, having a hangover. Drunkenness. And the word for drunkenness in the Greek is where we get our word meth. It literally is methy. Drug use, being high, being jacked up on life, cares of this life, anxiety, and that day will come suddenly upon you like a trap. But stay awake at all times. I'm just kind of skipping ahead, praying that you may be worthy to escape all these things and that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So Jesus is telling us that it's easy to miss the trees, to miss what you're seeing, what's going on around you. And you're basically caught up with this whirlwind, and some people call it the wheel of life, that's spinning hard. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the springtime here, one day you've got gray woods with no leaves. Then there's a little short period where you have sort of a very faint green and yellow, and then you see the dogwoods blooming in the woods. It's very beautiful at that time. And then all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you miss it. All of a sudden, everything is green.
Right. It's like, boom.
If you're not watching carefully, you'll miss it. And then all of a sudden, it's here. The spring, the leaves are in full bloom. It's like that now. All of a sudden, everything is green. And It's amazing, and so it's like with the kingdom of God, we have to keep our eyes open, or we could miss what God is doing.
Right.
And we need to keep our eyes open so that we can be fully part of the kingdom of God, fully involved in what he's doing.
Right. Amen. And, you know, another reference to waiting in the New Testament, James, in James chapter 5, he says here, in I think it's around verse 8 or 9, he says, "Be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit or the harvest of the earth, being patient until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient and establish your hearts." So God doesn't want our hearts to become weighed down.
Mm-hmm.
He wants our hearts to be established so that there's a strength about our hearts. And now in this particular passage in James 5, in some ways, this has to do with a waiting for the Lord, because what the farmer is doing is there's not a whole lot he can do once the crops are planted. And he's like, okay, we need rain now. We need rain now. Please come rain. So he's waiting for the harvest for the next phase of his work. But he's also watching, and that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for the harvest, but while he's waiting, he is watching to see what is going on so that he can respond correctly. And this is the kind of waiting we're talking about. We're not talking about a waiting where you're distracted. It's a waiting that's active. And it's an active waiting, and it's a waiting that has that is a watching or a being an alert about some things. And so this is the kind of thing that I want to just start us off with, is what waiting is. So waiting has to do with us withdrawing from activity as far as all the things that we do. As what we do, all the doing. And I want to call it the wheel of life, just that wheel that just goes on. And I'm, the spinning wheel of our life.
Many people have that opportunity now.
Yeah.
Not everybody does, but a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands now that they may not have had.
What was that Blood, Sweat, and Tears song, Spinning Wheel, Gotta Go Round? And everybody's right in this spinning wheel of life. And what we're talking about is the activity of waiting on God on the inside of us that's like another wheel. And Ezekiel had a vision of the wheel within the wheel. And that's a description of a gyroscope. What you see with a gyroscope is you see usually a wheel or a globe that spins, and then inside that is another spinning wheel. And because of that inside spinning wheel, what happens to that gyro? And I wish I had one. You put one on, you can put it on your hand, and no matter what angle it is, no matter what you do, that gyroscope just keeps it exactly level, the way it's supposed to be. And so waiting on God puts a spinning wheel inside of us that keeps our other spinning wheel from going crazy.
That's really good.
Isn't that
cool?
I've
never heard that before.
Well, my dad worked for Sperry Gyroscope, so.
So that means that our relationship with the Lord, being the inner wheel.
Right.
And that keeps us from tipping over and crashing.
Exactly.
Like an airplane.
Exactly.
Okay.
I got a prophetic word one time from a guy named Bill Davis. And if you're watching, it's not my friend Bill Davis down in South Carolina, but another Bill Davis. And he said to me that there was going to come a day when the Lord was going to use us to be like a gyroscope for this church. And I thought, wow, what a ministry that God has, or a way that you can help people. I mean, one of the best ways that you can help your friends and people in times of shaking, times of need, is to be that gyroscope with them, because they're getting shaken, they're hurting, they're crying. And yet God gives you an inner gyroscope, that wheel within the wheel, that causes you to be stable, mm-hmm. no matter what direction and no matter what's going on the outside. So I'm praying that God will use this teaching about waiting on God so that you can be a blessing to other people helping steady people during times of shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So what we do is we withdraw from our other activities, you know, and then we get into this place where we're almost shutting ourselves in with God. And Jesus talked about when you pray, he said, shut the door. And there's a sense that shutting the door means, okay, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to be distracted right now. I'm just going to, it's just you and me, God. Just you and me. So you can actually, after walking with the Lord for a while, you can learn how to shut the door even when you're in a group of people. And I found myself with a group of people just quietly praying to the Lord and shutting the door to hear what God has to say. What I mean, a group of people. And then many times God will speak to you at that time. So anyway, after a period of time, you learn how to shut the door no matter where you are. And it will be, like I said, a spinning wheel. It won't be just you being super passive. So the other thing that is a biblical characteristic of waiting on God is this sense of coming to God. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, the Lord told Moses, come, I will send thee. And so you see this also with Jesus calling his disciples. So waiting on God is a response to God saying, come and shut the door and just you and me. And that's the other sense that we have when we're waiting on God. We're coming to the Lord, and you can see that in Exodus 3:10 and also Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Now, how to start? Okay, Pastor John, I want to learn how to shut the door. I want to learn how to get this inner gyroscope spinning. Well, the first thing is you got to be determined. The basic thing is make up your mind and be determined. You need to sort of grit your teeth. And I'll tell you why. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. I mean, I cannot tell you, I wish I could tell you that every morning that I get up to spend time with God, I am not distracted. But that ain't the case. I've got to be so determined because I'll get down there and I'm seeking the Lord. And I've got my laptop, I've got my scriptures, and there's that tendency, oh, let's check quick Facebook. Or let's go do this. I just get distracted. I want to find out what's happening. I want to look at the newspaper. I want to do this. I want to think about this person. So I just want you to know that there'll be times when you'll be discouraged because you won't be doing it as good as you think you should. And that's just the way it is. So we just have to get over it and be determined. Okay?
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part. So set aside a time and set aside a place. That helps. So that it's a time that you regularly try to put in your life and set up a time and a place. Now, when I was teaching school, I had to be, many times I was at school at 7 in the morning, so I had to adjust my time clock once I started teaching again. There are times when I taught school and times when I didn't teach school, and so I had to adjust my time. So I had to roll back my time so that I had time with God, so that before I went rushing off to school, I just needed my time with God. So you're going to have to schedule your time and your definite place. The morning hours are good. The morning hours are good. Not everybody will do it on the morning hours. And like I said, many times the exception proves the rule. But for me, I've learned that the morning hours are really good. Why? Most of the time in the morning, my mind is clear. Many times I have a dream that I get right before I wake up that I need to write down. And if I don't take the time in the morning to write it down, I forget it. It's just, I don't know if you're like me, but I forget it. And it's easy, again, for your thoughts to wander, but in the morning, in the morning time, I feel that my mind is less jumpy. So now, what do you do when you have trouble focusing? Do you have like a little thing that, like, if you find your mind wandering, what do you do to kind of get yourself back on track?
Well, one thing I found helpful was one thing Mark Verkler said in his How to Hear from God series was to have a notebook there.
Yeah.
And if something comes to your mind that you have to do, jot it down.
Right.
Jot down little notes, and therefore you kind of mentally you're telling yourself, I'm going to come back to this later.
Right.
I've written it down. I'm not going to forget it. And somehow that just sort of gives you peace of mind about that, and you don't keep thinking about it.
Yes. You know? That was one of the most helpful things for me.
And then to find something about the Lord to focus on. So not just have an empty mind.
Right.
But, you know, focus on something, either a scripture or a song.
Right.
Or something that you can kind of focus on to kind of get you in the right gear.
Right. Right. You know? That's what the term displace. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to, you don't empty your mind, you just fill your mind with the good things. So if you're getting distracted and thinking about all the lists, your to-do list for today, write them down and then displace it with a scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That's really helps me. I'll just do a scripture that kind of gets me back on track. Morning hours can be difficult simply because we stay up late. Okay, we have things to do. We have programs. We have activities that keep us up. When you're first trying to adjust your schedule, you may have to walk around a lot. Because if you sit, it may be hard to keep awake. So sometimes when I'm adjusting my body clock, if you have to travel, things like that, and you got to adjust your body clock, sometimes our times with God involve walking or just, who knows, splashing water on your face, whatever works.
Drinking a cup of coffee.
Actually, that's the first thing I do is I get my coffee set. So that helps me. I guess it's something I can do. I can just take a little sip.
You know, one of the legends of how coffee originated in Ethiopia was a story of how some monks discovered the berry, the coffee beans.
Right.
And discovered that if they made a drink from them, that they could get up for their middle of the night or stay up, like they had their 3 a.m.
Right. Prayer time.
Prayer time. And they could drink coffee and they could be alert for that. So they called it the holy bean.
The holy bean.
Because of that. That's a little side.
I wonder if there's any coffee shops named the holy bean.
I don't know.
That's kind of a cool name. Holy bean. Sounds like something Robin would say next to Batman. Batman! Holy bean! Oh. Anyway, okay. Robin. Okay, here we go. The next thing. Don't worry about your feelings. Don't worry about your feelings at that time. Sometimes, it's so funny, sometimes when I wake up, my feelings just won't be right. And I'll feel anxious sometimes. And the Lord just says, just let your let your body chemistry kind of adjust. That's what I prayed about it. I asked the Lord, why sometimes do I wake up that way? He's like, it's just some chemicals that I just needed to adjust. What we do, we've learned that our foundation, like James said, put your heart on a good foundation, is trust what the Word of God says. Sometimes you have to trust the Word of God and not your feelings. That's just, you got to say, God, you fill heaven and the earth. That is Jeremiah 23:24. God says, do I not fill heaven and earth? So you just declare and say, Lord, your word says that you're here. So I'm not going to wait on my feelings to determine whether I think God's there or not. And then when we get rooted in God's presence in our life, then we get to this place where we just get more sensitive. Believe it or not, we get more sensitive to God's presence by walking in that faith. Sometimes even when the feelings aren't there, it actually increases our ability to sense God's presence.
I think an interesting thing is, too, sometimes you'd be waiting on God, whatever, and you have no feelings whatsoever. You may not even hear from God something that you really feel. But then later that day, you might have a really strong sense of his presence. Or sometimes
right.
there's sort of a delayed
right.
time effect.
Yes, a delayed effect.
Or the
Absolutely.
Lord may really speak to you later on in the day or something.
Right.
It's really interesting how that works.
Yeah, that can happen a lot of times when I'm waiting on God. And say I'm using my prayer language and I pray in my prayer language and I don't understand immediately what I'm saying. Paul says, interpret if you're in a group. Please don't just pray in the Spirit and not interpret. But when you're by yourself, there are times when you're praying in the Spirit and you don't get the interpretation. But then later in the day, boom, something shows up and you're like, oh, so that's what you've been trying to tell me.
It's like planting a seed.
Amen.
When you put a seed in the ground, you don't see anything for a while. You don't see the plant right after you put the seed in the ground. But later on, the seed will pop up, the plant will come up, and you'll know what it is.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing.
Wow.
You know?
I hope that as you're listening to this, if you have any comments to things we're saying, share them when we post it in the comments section. We'd love to hear what you think about this and even your personal experience. It's a time for us to share our love together in Jesus. So God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to watch this. And may you be blessed the rest of this week. Amen.
Amen.